Well, it's so good to see all of you this morning. I'm glad you're here. And if you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to encourage you to turn with me to Deuteronomy this morning. And I know some of you are saying, well, what are you doing? I thought we were talking about Joshua. We are, but we got to backtrack this morning just for a few minutes and look at some scripture further back. But as we have been talking about Joshua, we have talked about this series. We've called it Being People of Courage. And how many of you know it takes courage to live the life that we're living today in this world? Amen. And you know, God's got such great things in store for his people, and as I prayed earlier this morning that there are other churches that are meeting at the same time that we are right now, and all across Central Oregon, people are lifting up in the name of Jesus, and God's just got such great things. David, it's so good to have you home. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for what you do for us. And serving our great nation, and we appreciate it. And these guys have been in Guam for 3 years, and they just got reassigned back in the States, so they're moving to the wonderful state of Minnesota. Yeah. And David shared with me a couple of weeks ago when he got here, because he's been in training for the last few weeks in Florida. But when he got here, it was 80-something in Guam, and your guy that is your officer, head guy in Minnesota. I wasn't in the military, so you'll have to help me just kind of, it was like 20 degrees there when he called him, and he's just like, oh man, we're going to have to buy coats, and we're going to have to, I'd suggest that. Yeah. But welcome home. We're so glad you guys are back, so it's great to see all of you. Yeah, thanks again for what you do. Let's see, I was talking about Joshua or something, wasn't I? Yeah. Sorry, all that flash right there just kind of got my attention, but anyways, Joshua, we've been talking about being people of courage, and I mentioned that in this world that we're living, it takes courage to serve Jesus today. And you know, one of the things, and I don't want to sound political today, and I'm not going to get political today, but you know, the Christian community around the world today has been suffering worse than almost any time in history of things that are going on right now. And you know, we can talk about any other religion, we can talk about anything we want, but as soon as you mention the name Christian, it all comes apart, you know. And I just want to tell you this morning that I'm proud of who we are as Christians. I'm proud of you this morning. Bible says this, and Paul's the one that said it, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And friends, listen, the Bible says that there's no other name by which men or women can be saved except the name of Jesus. And I'm going to say this morning and just declare this to you today, that I'm not ashamed of who Jesus is. I'm not ashamed of who Jesus is in my life. I'm not ashamed of who Jesus is in our church. I'm thankful for what God's doing in my life. I'm thankful for what he was doing in your life. He's continuing to do things, and until he comes again, he's going to continue to do great things in people's lives, and we're thankful for that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah, so he's good to us. And but as we are talking about Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago as we started this series, in the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1, the Lord spoke to Moses. He spoke to Joshua. He talks about Moses right there too, doesn't he? But he's gone. Okay? But he talks to Joshua in those first 9 verses. He says this, Joshua, be strong and be very courageous. Then down at the end in verse 9, he said, I'll be with you wherever you go. He said, the same things that I promised to Moses, I promise to you. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute, and I shared with you on that day. I believe that God had probably spoke to Joshua from the other side of the Jordan the same way that he did Moses. He was reaffirming in Joshua's heart that he was going to be with him. He was reaffirming in Joshua's heart that he was still faithful to his promises. He was probably reaffirming in Joshua's heart that he was still going to lead the battle before him. And I'm thinking about all these things that Joshua might have thought about. But as Joshua was thinking about all of these things, I'm wondering about his mind thinking, you know what, 40 years ago, we were in the same place. 40 years ago, Moses had sent 12 spies, one that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. He sent a spy, one from each tribe, into the promised land. They were to check it out. They were to go in there and see. And I know I'm paraphrasing all this, so just hang with me. But they're to go in and check it out. They were gone, I think the Bible says they were there for 40 days. They come back, these 12 men all come back, and as they come, these people are all gathered. I'm sure they're super excited to see these guys coming back because now they are going to where God had promised them. It was their inheritance. It was their place of provision. It was their place of security. It was going to be their place where God had provided for them. And the Lord's word says this, that they were going to live in houses that they didn't build. They were going to drink from wells that they didn't dig. They were going to eat from binds it. They did not plant. God was going to bless these people. The scripture says that they come back, and as these 12 spies come back, they said, you know what? God was exactly right, Moses, what he said, that the land is flowing with milk and honey. I don't know what that means, but it means it was good. But it was flowing with milk and honey, and he said, you know what? Everything that the Lord said is exactly what's there. It's exactly what's as the Lord said. And then here's what they said, but we can't do it. And I think there's these two guys there, Joshua and Caleb, that are just like, hey, hold on a second. Hold on, hold on. And all of a sudden, in front of this entire crowd, these men are saying, we're too weak. They're bigger than we are. They're tougher than we are. They're more skilled than we are. It's exactly what God said. It's exactly the way the Lord said it was going to be, but we can't do it. And it says that the people begin to cry out in despair. And all of a sudden, Joshua and Caleb is the one that speaks up and says, hold it a second. He said, we're well able to do this. We can do this. Moses, we need to go up at once. I think when Joshua was sitting on the other side, when God's talking to him in Joshua chapter 1, he's probably thinking about all those things. He's probably thinking about something else. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, it says this. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses. He says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are about to enter and occupy, he will clear away many nations ahead of you. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. These seven nations are greater and they're more numerous than you. When the Lord your God hands these nations over to you and you conquer them, you must completely destroy them. Make no treaties with them and show them no mercy. You must not intermarry with them. Do not let your daughters and your sons marry their sons and daughters, for they will lead your children away from me to worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and he will quickly destroy you. This is what you must do. You must break down their pagan altars and shatter their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols. For you are a holy people who belong to the Lord your God. Of all the people on the earth, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a special treasure. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than the other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping an oath that he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of the Pharaoh in Egypt. Now listen, what did he just say right here as we read this? And he's telling this to Moses. Listen, I didn't choose you. I didn't give this promise to your ancestors because you were the strongest, because you were the most numerous. Why did he say it? Because I love you. And friends, can I just tell you this morning, and we always look and I always say to God, God, help me to be able to relate this to your people in such a way that we can put it into where we're at today. And I believe the Lord's given me a couple of things to share with you this morning. And the first one is this, is that God loves you today. And the love of God and the love of Christ means this, that he is always seeking your highest good. That's the love of God. He's always seeking your highest good. Now, I know that some of you are pushing on me a little, and you go, well, how come there's not a lot of great things that happened to me then? Well, we'll talk about that later. But what I'm saying is this, is that God has your highest good in mind. He's always got your highest good in mind because he loves you. You're his treasure this morning, the same way that he's speaking to this nation and to these guys. But the Lord, we look at this so many times and we think to ourselves and we think, well, man, God is not very merciful and God's kind of a mean God because he tells these people to go in here. There was a reason that this happened, friends, and it was because they had gone away from God at some point too. And they began to serve other gods and they begin to do all these things. And we know through the scriptures, we read from the beginning of the Bible and get into these passive scriptures. And friends, listen, I think this is so important this morning for us because it's the same thing that they're facing that we face in our world today, and that word is compromise. What had happened is these nations begin to compromise. They begin to compromise the things of God. And so the first thing I'd like to draw your attention to this morning that I think is important about this is that God always has a plan. God has a plan, and he's got a plan for each of us today. He's got a plan for your life today. He's got a plan for my life today. And so many times we look at it and we say, well, why does it feel like that I don't understand what God's direction is? Friends, listen, I want to tell you how to find God's direction for your life. Get quiet before God. Talk to him. Get into his word. See what he says about you. See what he's saying in your spirit. See what he's saying in your heart. Because so many times, and friends, I know I've said this before, but I don't know a better analogy than this, but we live our lives like a pinball machine sometimes. Seriously. You know what I mean? I mean, here you are, you've got these little marbles, and you pull the handle back, and all of a sudden, there you launch into life. You know, and then it just seems like you get beat up the whole time because somebody's standing up there, you know, with the paddles, and you're like being banged and banged over here and over there. I know what you're thinking. This guy's off his wheels. You're probably right. But I'm just telling you, I know a lot of people that live their life just like that, you know, and it's just one of those things. And every time that you feel like that you just about got a straight path, you know where it goes? Right in the hole. Wow, they're probably recording this too, and our district superintendent will probably hear this. What I'm saying to you this morning is God's always got a plan for your life. And friends, listen, if you're being beat up a little bit right now, it's probably for a reason. I always ask the Lord this. When I'm feeling beat up a little bit, I always ask God, God, what are you wanting me to learn out of this right here? God, what is it that you're trying to do in my life right now? What is it that you need me to hear you about? What is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it that you're trying to cause me to learn from this? Because Lord, I want to learn this again because I don't like getting beat up by the things of life, just like you don't like getting beat up by the things of life. But God always has a plan, and I think it's important. And excuse me, as God gives us, excuse me, I have these little green mints in my pocket, and I had one right there. Now it's down there. But God always has a plan for our life. And here's what I know this morning is that sometimes we're going to go through those times and it feels like we're getting beat up. And when we ask the Lord, Lord, what is the purpose of this? And God, why am I going through this? And what is it that you want me to learn from this? And in the midst of it, you know what we do? We praise him. See, we continually praise him. That's why I like that song that we sang this morning talking about God's faithfulness. He is faithful to us every single day. And friends, can I tell you what God blesses in your life? He blesses his plan in your life. So many times we look at our life and what we do is we say, God, here's the direction I'm going. This is what I want to do. And I would really appreciate it if you would bless me. You know what I mean? And what God is saying to us this morning is, listen, I've got a plan for your life. And I want you to come this direction. I want you to go this way. And if you'll come this way, I'm going to bless you. It's kind of that simple. God gave Joshua a plan and he's talking to him. But I'm wondering about this, and I'm thinking as Joshua is sitting on the side of the hill that day, looking across the Jordan River, if all of this stuff that the Lord just spoke to Moses is coming back to his mind, because all of a sudden he's saying things like this, there's seven nations on the other side that we're going to have to go in, and we're going to have to declare war on them. Well, in these next few weeks, minus next Sunday, because we're going to talk to moms next week and bless moms on Mother's Day. But the Sunday following that, we're going to talk about these seven nations. And let me just give you a little bit of a little deal here. But these nations and the names of these nations, and we're going to go over this in the next couple of weeks, but there's a name and there's a reason for these nations. And we look at it and say, how does it affect us today? Well, the very nation of Canaan, the Canaanites, that the Lord was talking to Joshua, that he talked to Moses about, they represented materialism. They represented materialism. The Hivites, their very name instilled fear into people. They were fearful. And can I just tell you that these are things that distract us and try and take us away from God's blessing. They're things that try and take us away of receiving God's blessing in our life. Because if the devil can keep you fearful, if the devil can keep you afraid of what God has for you, and you go through that pinball of life and you're being beat up and you look at it and you're fearful, can I just tell you, you'll never move into what God has for you. That's why Paul said, we got to forget the things that are behind and we got to press on for what God has for us in the future. So the Hittites, they were people that instilled fear. The Hivites represented humanism. What does that mean? It means that I'm my own God. I'm my own boss. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I can live my own life. I can make my own decisions, do my own deal. I don't need God. That's what they represented. The Perizzites represented immorality. And we know that our world is absolutely filled with immoral situations that we face today. Perizzites represented immorality. The Girgashites, they represented compromise. And can I tell you, that's the thing that the devil tries to get us to do in our life. And we're going to talk about compromise in just a minute. The Amorites, here's these seven nations. The Amorites, they represented pride and rebellion. Oh, man. What about that in our world today, huh? The Jebusites represented discouragement and condemnation. And if the devil can keep you living there, that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to keep you living in discouragement and in condemnation. So let's get back and let's talk about this for just a minute, because I think these things are so important. There are so many times that we just don't like what God says. And friends, listen, I'm preaching this to me this morning just like I'm preaching to you. But sometimes when I read God's word, I'm just like, I don't know if I like that or not. Well, can I just, I'm just going to throw this out just for food for thought. When God was writing his word, he didn't consult me. He didn't say, hey, Dusky, what do you think about this? You know, what are you thinking? See, that didn't happen. And that didn't happen with any of us, did it? Do you know why God wrote his word for us? Because he's seeking our highest good. And sometimes I read God's word and I look at it and I think, I don't know if I like what that says. And friends, can I just tell you that what we do in our life, and if you've been around here long enough, you've heard me say this before, but God has set a standard for us to live. God set a standard for us to live by. And friends, can I just tell you, if God didn't empower us to live by the standard that he set for us, then he wouldn't have set the standard. He empowers us to live there. Are we going to fall short? Probably. But you know what we've done? Instead of us taking our lives and aligning it to the word of God, what we've done is we've tried to say, well, there's no way I can do this. So we bring God's word down to where we're at. And we say things like this: I'm my own boss. And as long as I read in God's word what I like, then I'll follow that. But if not, then I'm going to make my own decisions and I'm going to do my own thing. And you know what we do? We come down to this level. Because we'll never stay here. And we keep dragging it down to pretty soon God's word makes no difference to us. That's the compromise. See, and so what happens is we say things like that, that God, I don't like what your word says. Or we say things like this, God, I don't agree with you. And so again, why is God giving these instructions? Why is he telling these guys this? Because he knows if they don't rid these seven nations out of their lives, if they don't completely clear them out, that it's going to cause them to compromise. It's going to cause them to stumble. It's going to cause them to fall, and they're going to miss out on what God's blessing was for their lives. The Lord was telling them this because he knows the destructive power of compromise, and he's commanded us to live uncompromisingly before him. Listen to the definition of compromise this morning. It means to settle a dispute by mutual concession. Okay? In the end, we compromised and deferred the issue, or in other words, it's just like, well, you do what you want to do and I'll do what I want to do. And that's what the Bible says in the Old Testament, that people begin to do what was right in their own eyes. And friends, is that where we're at today or not? You know, we look at it today and it's exactly that, but listen to these deeper meanings of this. To compromise means that we meet each other halfway, or to find the middle ground, that we come to terms with each other, that we come to a mutual understanding. In other words, we make a deal or we make concessions. We find a happy medium or we strike a balance. These are all things that have to do with compromise. There's a little give and a little take. And I said in the first service, and I'm going to say it again in this service this morning. Friends, listen, I'm 59. I know I look a lot younger than that. Kidding. I'm 59, but can I tell you that in the last 2 years, this nation has passed laws and have done things that 30 years ago we would have said would never, ever, ever happen in the United States of America. Can I tell you why this morning? Compromise. Compromise. You know, and we look at it, and so people say, well, we need to stand up, and we need to this, and we need to that. Well, friends, listen, I wish they would have been doing that 30 years ago. You know, and we look at it, is it our fault? Maybe. Is it their fault? Maybe. But here's what I know this morning, friends. Listen, I don't have to be a part of that, and neither do you. And this is the thing that blesses me so much about the Word of God. In James chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, and I'm reading this out of the Amplified version of the Bible because I like how it reads right here. It says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious or if you become observant of the rituals of faith and you do not and does not control his tongue, he deludes his own heart. This person's religion is worthless. It's futile. It's barren. Pure and unblemished religion as it is expressed in outward acts in the sight of our God and Father is this: to visit and look after the fatherless and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself, now hear this, to keep oneself uncontaminated by the secular world. Jesus said this: if you love me, you'll obey what I say. If you love me, you'll obey my teachings. If you love me, you will obey what I say. And then he says this: and then you will know the what? Truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? There's something about this. Friends, listen, I'm just telling you this morning, we all live in the same world. We can't be in this world without being polluted by the things of this world. We just can't. Okay? But it doesn't mean that the pollution of this world has to go and take root in my heart. And that's what God's saying to us this morning. It doesn't mean that that stuff has to take root in my heart and begins to cause me to compromise. Now, I could chase a zillion little side rabbits right here, and I'm not going to. But what I am going to say this morning is this: is things that would have never happened 30 years ago are happening today, and it's because we've compromised. And you know what? It's because we've come to this mutual understanding. Well, if that's what you believe, that's fine, but this is what I believe, and we're just going to this, and we're just going to that. Well, friends, listen. If we're eating dinner and I don't like broccoli, and I'm going to say, you know, I really don't care for this, so I'm just going to push this aside, it's not going to make any difference to my physical health. Now, some of you moms are going, now, wait a second, because I'm telling my kids. I'm just pretty much sure that broccoli has never saved anybody's life. And I like broccoli with a stick of butter on it, okay? But there are some moral absolutes that God has given us in His Word that will save your life. They will save you from destruction. They'll save you from harm. They'll save you from hurt. Those moral absolutes. You know, and so many times we're looking at things and we're dealing with things. And friends, what I'm talking about this morning is our culture today and our world today, we're talking about biblical moral absolutes that God is saying, please don't compromise on these things. Because I love you and I'm trying to seek your highest good. I'm trying to help you to be the best that you can be. I'm trying to get you to what I have for you. I'm trying to do these things. So don't compromise yourself. Don't compromise yourself. Compromise, what does it do to us? It causes us to hesitate. It causes us to procrastinate. It causes us to complain, and it causes us to grumble. Many times it causes us to doubt and to be fearful or say things like, I know what's best for me. I'm big enough to make my own decisions. But it's because of these types of things that God told Moses and the children of Israel in Numbers 13 that they would not go into the promised land and that they would die in the desert and the next generation would go in. It's a big deal. I don't know, I kind of got a weird mind. So I'm thinking about Joshua, and maybe there's this one guy, and I don't know what his name is. Let's call him Hugh, okay? I don't know if there's anybody here named Hugh, but Hugh, if you're here, Hugh, I'm not. But here's this, all this younger generation sitting there going, when is Hugh going to kick the bucket? Because we're ready to do this thing. You know, we're ready to go in. Hugh, how you feeling this morning? But the Lord said, once all those people that were filled with what? Doubt, unbelief, and fear. Once they were gone, they were going. And that's why God said to Joshua, Joshua, Moses, my servant, he's dead. Now you are going to take these people and you're going to lead them across the Jordan. And I think that Joshua's probably sitting here and he's probably thinking as he's on the hillside that day, wondering what kind of battles are we going to have to fight? Because their first one was Jericho when you read in the scripture. Their first one was Jericho. Their second battle was Ai. And boy, did they have great victory at Jericho, but boy, did they struggle in Ai. And Joshua's probably thinking about all these stuff and he's probably saying this, God, I don't know if I want to do this. And you say, well, why wasn't he wanting to do it? Well, I just would throw things out like this. Maybe Joshua's saying, God, do you realize how these people treated Moses? And now you want me to lead them? Do you know some of them weren't nice to him? Do you know some of them didn't treat him very kindly? Did you know that some of them murmured and they complained and they wanted to go back to Egypt and they wanted to do all these things? And I think that's why God said to Moses, or to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. And then at that bottom verse, he says this, because I will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you place your foot, I'm going to give it to you as my inheritance. Friends, can I just tell you this morning, God always has a plan. The second thing that God always does that blesses me this morning is God is always trying to communicate his plan to us for our good. It's for our good. So I take you down to this today and say, what is it that God's trying to do in your life today that is for your good? You know, is it for your good? There's been several people that are part of our congregation that have had surgery in the last few weeks. And we've been praying for them and believing God for speedy recoveries and different things. But friends, can I just tell you, when you have surgery, it hurts before it feels better. It hurts before it feels better. So many times as we're walking this path that is our spiritual journey, we're going to go through difficulties. And we're going to go through things and they're not going to feel very good. But the Lord is speaking to our hearts and he's saying this, if you'll stay with me, if you'll be faithful, if you'll continue to follow me and believe my word and believe my promises and know that I love you and I'm seeking your highest good. It helps us get through those things. And can I just tell you, it'll strengthen you on the other side. You'll come out stronger on the other side. You'll come out stronger. You'll come out stronger. God wants to help us because he's seeking our highest good. He doesn't want us to die in the desert. And he spoke to Joshua and he said, Joshua, listen, you and this next generation are going to go in. And so in these next couple of weeks, after next week because of Mother's Day, we're going to break down these things and we're going to talk about fear and we're going to talk about materialism and humanism and immorality and compromise and some of these things. We're going to talk about this and how it affects our lives today and the things that are going on. So stay tuned. But God's good to us, amen? Amen? He's good to us. And I want you to remember that God is good to us. He's good to us always. And friends, we can trust God. We can trust him. Yeah. There's this, man, here I am, old song again. So this old song, it's called My God Can Move the Highest Mountain. It goes like this. My God can move the highest mountain. He'll make a way across the sea. There is no power can stand before him. He's the truth, the light, the way. I'll trust him when, this is the important part of this song, I'll trust him when I cannot see him, though the waters cover me. My God can move the highest mountain. He'll make a way across the sea. It's a great faith tune. It's a great faith song. And friends, listen, those are the things that need to get down on the inside of our heart when we're facing the troubles and we're facing the difficulties in life. We need to be quoting scripture and saying, God, if you can do it for them, you can do it for me. God, you don't love them any more than you did me. And if you can do it for them, you can do it for me. And God, I'm going to trust you. Even though I can't see in the midst of this situation right now, I know by faith you're there. Lord, even though it doesn't feel like you're there, I know by faith you're there. And so I'm going to trust you, even though I don't see you right now. Friends, listen, I'm just going to say this to you this morning because I believe this with all my heart. While we're so in fretting about that kind of stuff, God's always working behind the scenes, working out all the details of things that we can't even see and that we don't even know. And all of a sudden we wake up one morning and the problem's over and we go, oh. And that night you're coming home and you're going, it's been a good day today. But that's how God works. I mean, those problems go just as quick as they come. And if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, he'll make a way. Amen? He's good. So, Lord, thank you for who you are. If those people are going to help us with communion, if you'd please come this morning, and they're going to serve us this morning. But, Lord, we're so thankful for who you are, and we're so thankful today, Lord, for what you do in our lives. We're thankful that, God, that we can trust you, even though we can't see you sometimes in the midst of it. Lord Jesus, we know that sometimes those trials and those storms, Lord, that the waves are high and, Lord, the rain's coming down hard and sometimes things can be a little foggy. But, Lord, your promise of your word is this, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. God, and I pray in the same way that I just quoted the words of that song, that, Lord Jesus, in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trials, that we'll trust you when we cannot see you, though the waters cover me. Our God can move the highest mountain. He'll make a way across the sea. Lord, thank you that you're the only one that knows the way. You said you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Lord, help us to follow you, and help us to trust you, and help us, Lord, to serve you. And we honor you, and we thank you for that, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I just pray that as, Lord, we hand, Lord Jesus, these communion elements this morning, that, Lord Jesus, that you will bless them. And God, we just pray that, Lord Jesus, today that we would just grow closer to you and, Lord, be more strengthened today. And we honor you for it, and we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. We serve open communion in our church. The only thing we ask is that you just know Jesus, because that's what the Bible says. And we'll wait until everyone's been served, and if you'll wait, then we'll receive communion together. God bless you. I'm so sorry, Terry.